Welcome to Rock the Midlife Show, a podcast that brings you fun and interesting conversations to inspire, motivate, and encourage women on their journey through midlife. I am Alinka Tercic, your host. I help women at midlife to rediscover themselves and their vision and thrive through the transition into their next stage. Enjoy. Hey, hey. Today, I am talking with Jonathan Astley, and he's a dating and relationship coach. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, how are you doing, Alinka?
I am awesome. How are you? Thanks for being my guest.
Well, thank you. I'm honored. I love talking about midlife stuff.
me too, lately. So how did you become the midlife dating coach?
Well, how much time do we have to talk? After actually turning 40 and going through a divorce, about 10 plus years ago, I found myself back out in the dating realm. And there's this thing called internet dating. And I thought, oh, you could simply plug in what you want and someone would magically appear. And sure enough, I met this great girl, had a great date, but something wasn't right. And then I met another great girl, great date, something wasn't right. And in 1 year, I had over 100 internet dates.
Wow.
Yeah. And I realized that I was the common denominator. What wasn't right was me. So I started to study relationships. But what was interesting and what was happening at this time was that I'm talking to women online all over the country. I mean, I was just consumed with talking with women. I think part of it was I was lonely. I was feeling depression over the divorce and some other things in my life. And just talking to women helped me feel better. But what was interesting was the women that would reach out to me, some of the women I was talking to, not even dating, would say, "Hey, Jonathan, will you check out my profile and tell me what you think, how I can make it better?" I'm like, okay. So I would say, change this picture, write this, do this. And then they go, okay, I'll do it. And then 3 weeks later, I'd get a phone call. "Jonathan, I met this great guy. Will you check out his profile and tell me what you think?" So I'd go online, check out the guy's profile. And I'd say, "Well, I think he's a player," or, "He sounds like he's not ready for a relationship," or, "Wow, he sounds like a perfect guy." And I realized I had a knack for kind of like spotting men who are emotionally ready to be in relationship versus those that weren't. So I jokingly say, just like the FBI have profilers for serial killers, I can profile serial daters, serial monogamous, nice guys, the bad boys, and the one looking for you. And literally from that moment, my coaching practice was born.
Wow. Yeah, I was going to say the same. You were like a profiler. Amazing.
And I specialize in midlife because the difference is, 75% of people who are over 45 years old, 40, 45 years old, who are actively seeking love, like through the online medium, are divorced. And yeah. So divorce comes, is a whole different ball game than when you're in your 20s or 30s dating versus after divorce. Because, in my particular case, I went through alimony and child support and visitation rights and family court and custody and all those things. And so that brings to it a lot of different emotional luggage that someone in their 20s doesn't experience. So I lean into the more complicated conversations like how to deal with an ex-spouse, how to deal with erectile dysfunction and menopause and ghosting, all those things. I mean, like the list goes on and on. Why men disappear, why men pull away. And it's unique for those in midlife versus those that are in their 20s.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's this emotional baggage that we are carrying around and, entering the new relationship or even opening up to a new relationship is a huge step for someone who went through all of this issues and all of these struggles and everything that you mentioned.
Exactly. It's just a whole different ballgame. And there's this naivety, especially in the dating realm. People are so naive and not to recognize that they're significantly, okay, so let me shift for a second, because I wrote a book called What the Heck is Self-Love Anyway? And what I recognized is that the number one dating and relationships trigger the number one emotional health issue. And that is, I'm not good enough. I'm not lovable. I'm not likable. Dating and relationships trigger all our inner wounds. Mm-hmm. And the antidote to suffering, inner suffering, is self-love. Now, for some people, self-love is a turnoff because it's woo-woo or this or that. And I'm here to say self-love also means self-worth, self-reliance, mm-hmm. self-confidence, self-esteem, self-respect. It's all incorporated in loving ourselves, just like we would love on a little child. We must do that for our own inner child. And why this is so critically important in relationships is that, especially for folks in midlife, is that we come to the table, as I said earlier, with luggage. I don't like to say baggage. I like to say luggage. It just sounds a little bit nicer. But that luggage is childhood wounds and traumas that we experience in childhood that are unresolved, or adult traumas and experiences. And so we can't apply dating advice to the generic men are hunters and men, you know, chase what they want. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, and also, you know, I feel that women, especially I'm talking about women because yes. that's my audience more, but you Same know, here. they are like experienced all these failing relationships, but they also entered in those relationships probably very early before they even get a chance to know who they are.
Exactly. You know, it's fascinating. We remember I said earlier, humans are naive and we have this belief mm-hmm. that we know ourselves, but trust me, spend any time with a 75 or 80 year old person. You know, spend time with someone twice your age. Well, at my age, that would be kind of hard. But,
yeah, mine.
Someone in their 70s or 80s and get a sense of how they looked at life, because they will tell you they were incredibly naive in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. And it wasn't until about their 60s that they actually get a sense of who they are. Yeah. And so how can you choose a relationship if you don't even know who you are? But the ego is sneaky and snarky, because the ego makes it sound, our unhealthy ego creates a fantasy of who we are. And yet, here's the thing. If we connect the dots going backwards in our lives, we can see the progression of whether or not we were empowered or a victim. Let me repeat that. We were either empowered in our lives, we take personal responsibility for our choices, or we choose victim consciousness. And what's sad here in the United States is people are sucking on the nipple of victim consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's not my fault. It's someone else's fault. And this attributes to a dysfunction in one's own life. And so this is the kind of things that I point out. As a dating and relationship coach, I'm literally pointing out clients' blind spots. I'm pointing out, especially a man coaching a woman, because, you know, I can see a woman's blind spots that they can't see themselves, because I'm coming at it from the male perspective. So when a woman has had one bad experience after another, I'm able to see it through the eyes of the masculine, if you will. And I can help guide them through their blind spots.
You know, it's really interesting that you say that, because before, when I was preparing for our interview, I asked in one group, okay, I have the chance to talk to a man about the relationships and about a dating in midlife. What questions do you have for him? And most of the questions were like, oh, why are men just looking for so much younger women? Why are men so, you know, set in their ways? Why are they so, you know, it was all about how men are, you know, doing this or doing that or cheating.
Yeah, they're giving their power away to the
exactly.
man.
Exactly.
So what if, a man? Okay, so here's the thing. So one man wants a younger woman, or 100 men want younger women. So what? That's not all men.
Exactly.
But when you fixate on that as your issue, instead of what do you want, and focusing more on what you want instead of put. Women sadly give their power away to men, and I see this so often because here's the thing, Alenka. We have been so conditioned to the following. I need you to love me for me to feel good about myself. Mm-hmm. Let me repeat that. I need you, I'm pointing the finger, at you to love me so I can feel good about myself. We're so conditioned that way. So women oftentimes give their power away in relationship because they're expecting the man to love them for them to feel good about themselves. And that's the whole point of self-love, is when you love on yourself so much, you don't need someone to love you for you to feel good about yourself. And here's the thing, you will attract another person who loves themselves, and you'll be in a delicious, juicy relationship because you're coming at it from an emotionally mature place and not an emotionally unhealthy place.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And women are just expecting men to save them and sweep them off the feet and, you know, woo them or whatever. And they are not. And I feel this is also a big issue in even in these breakups and in divorces, that they are not taking responsibility for, you know, it always takes two. Of course, not every marriage can be saved, but a lot of them would be much better, or, you know, would last longer if women would approach it like, okay, I am a part of the team. I am part of this relationship. Yes. I am also responsible how it works, not just pointing the finger at another, or, you know, men to women, of course.
Yeah, and let me just say this, and I thank you for saying that, because I see relationships as a two-lane street. I say two lanes. They're two lanes, and there's two cars in the lane, right? And you're driving forward. But it does, if one person is way ahead of the other person, you can't pull that person along. They have to be driving alongside of you. But here's the thing, and I want to say this to the women listening. Men are equally as messed up too. Let me tell you something. Just because women give their power away, men are equally naive, because sadly, both men and women date and they're in relationships myopically. Mm-hmm. In other words, I'm more focused on my feelings than I am about your feelings. In other words, it's so men are equally bad at this process. And I tell my clients, I say, look, most men are good people. They're just bad daters. And the problem is this lack of awareness that the other person's feelings matter. In fact, can I share with you a little joke that I say, or kind of story?
Yeah, sure,
I share?
Of course.
Okay. So I was watching a movie the other day where this 16, 17-year-old boy is in a tuxedo. He's got a flower in hand, and he's going to pick up his prom date. And the door opens. He knocks on the door. The door opens, and the father appears. And let's say this is a 17-year-old boy, and the daughter is like waiting in the hallway with the mother. And the father says, come with me. I want you to come to the garage, and I'm going to talk to you. And he basically said to the boy is, this is my precious jewel that you're taking out. I have protected her for the last 17 years. And right now you're taking charge of protecting her tonight. So I expect you to be home at 11 o'clock. I expect you to protect her. But if you don't, and by the way, this father is a big, gigantic football player looking guy. And in the garage is all of his friends that all look like these mean football players, okay? And they're all looking at him, and this poor boy is scared to death, and he's peeing his pants, because he's basically saying, the father's saying, if you treat my daughter disrespectfully, or if you put her in harm's way, I will kill you. Now, why does this relate to what I'm sharing? Because that's what I do as a dating coach. I'm the big brother. I'm the father that's protecting you. Because men, sadly, aren't approaching the dating process from a place of, look, I have to respect this person. It's important. I have to, like, the whole concept of provider protector means I'm going to protect even you, a stranger. But most people are so stuck in their own wounds and traumas that they're not even capable of protecting someone else. And when I say the word protect, I just mean be conscious of it. Mm. So ladies, I know you're frustrated. It sucks. Men are frustrating. And ladies, you are too. This is why it takes a level of self-love to outgrow all of this.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I see this so often when women say, well, I got rid of my husband, I get out of my relationship, it sucked, but now I found myself, I am loving myself, I have a great time. And, you know, for me, it feels like, yay, good for you. But then again, you know, why didn't you do this before or earlier, you know, because he was not in your way, if you know what I mean.
It takes a humbling moment.
Yeah,
it takes a humbling moment. So I said I went on 100 internet dates, and I realized, and I had one date where I actually was very, I got drunk and belligerent. And not intentionally, I actually had alcohol poisoning. And the woman called me the next day and called, she gave me shit for the way I behaved on a date. And that was like a wake-up call to me. She literally smacked me in the nose and said, you were a jerk on this date. And in that moment, I recognized I was the common denominator of all my problems. So it takes a humbling moment for someone to awaken to shifting to personal responsibility. And my invitation in my book, What the Heck is Self-Love Anyway, is a journey of personal development, self-help, and spiritual work to begin a daily practice. And since then, I began a daily practice of learning how to love on myself. But it took a humbling moment for me to shift.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It has to be something that, you know, stops you in the track and, you know, you ask yourself, okay, is this where I want to go?
Exactly. And when we recognize we are the common denominator, that's called awareness. That's called awareness. And eventually, when you become more conscious and aware, you can see your blind spots. You can see when you're stepping in the hole in the sidewalk of suffering. And most of the time, it's because we give our power away and we don't take responsibility.
Yeah, I completely agree. So what would be your advice? No, let's go back. What do you see are the most common mistakes that people, not just women, make, you know, when they start dating again or when they enter this dating arena again after, you know, divorce or after, you know, they reach midlife?
Yeah, it's funny. I have a meme on Facebook. I just posted it. I've got to find it. Hold on a second. Makes me think of this. But the meme says, consider how hard it is to change yourself, and you'll understand what little chance you have trying to change others. Consider. So women come to me in the dating realm trying to change men. And I say, look, think of how hard it is to change yourself. Why are you trying to change men? So that's one of the first things, is to recognize that human beings are who they are and we can't change them. Now, that's not to say someone can't grow and improve, but we can't change them. Why this is so important is because I recognize that most human beings are wounded and they have traumas. And so I start from a place of compassion. And yet in the dating realm, we start from a place of expectations. Most of the time, there's expectations. And most of the time from women, for example, they expect men to lead the dating process. They expect men to be romantic. They expect men to be chivalrous, okay? Now, that's great in theory, but when you're talking about people who have been wounded and traumatized and damaged in their life, both as young children or as adults, people show up dysfunctional. This is why I just have compassion for human beings rather than expectations. That's one of the things I drill into the head. Another thing is, and this is one of my principles, romance should be reserved for a relationship and not for dating. Let me repeat that. Romance should be reserved for relationships and not dating. And why I'm saying this is romance. Here's the thing, when someone's romantic to try to convince you to like them, what happens is once you like them, they don't need to romance you anymore. So I'm a big proponent that the dating process is for two people to get to know one another so they can choose to be in relationship. And then when you're in relationship, you can be mutually romantic with one another. But not to use that as a precursor, or not to expect it as a precursor for entering relationship, because we know that chemistry does not lead to relationship success.
Oh yeah.
Chemistry does not, the bodies are piled from here to the moon of people that thought chemistry was the indicator of relationship success. And I'm here to say relationship success is built on three other principles besides chemistry. I call it the four pillars. And that is shared values, blendable lifestyles, and emotional maturity. And before you've been romance, you better know if you share the same values, if your lifestyles are blendable, and you're dealing with an emotional grown-up. And this is one of the things I do in my coaching practice. One of the things I help women is to basically vet if a man is an emotional grown-up, because that's the real challenge. If a person is emotionally immature, and I don't mean they're immature like they can't pay their bills on time and they don't show up to work on time and they're responsible for their children. I'm talking about emotional maturity, that ability to, your actions match your words, you take personal responsibility for your choices, you know how to fight fair, you have that empathy, you care about that other person's feelings, and you're transparent, meaning you're showing up expressing why you want a relationship from a transparent perspective and not an unconscious perspective.
So you said that women want, you know, romance and being led into the dating, and that men do all the, let's say, the initial contacts and be the leader in the team. But what yes. would you say men expect from women at this age?
Well, I want to finish one more thought regarding what you just said, because women want men to lead the process, but I'm here to say, ladies, you're giving the job to the wrong person. And do you know why I know this? Because book after book after book after book after book after book is written about commitment phobic men. Why would you want to give the leadership of the relationship to men who are inherently commitment phobic? That's why I say in my coaching practice, you are in charge of your relationship destiny. So what do men want? You know, men, oftentimes they're very simple. They just say, you know, feed me and have sex and be nice and let me have my space, and that's all they want. But the reality is,
that would be that simple. Yeah.
But it's not. Men are equally as complicated. Partially, they're complicated because they're not aware of their own emotions. They haven't done a deep dive into their emotional maturity. But ultimately, most men and women want the same thing. They want companionship. They want attention. They want affection. They want appreciation. They want regular sex. Human beings, men and women aren't that different from one another. They want to be treated with respect. They want to be treated with kindness. They want to be treated with care. The reason why some men are unable to go there, because they don't feel safe. And the reason why they don't feel safe is they haven't resolved their own emotional wounds or traumas or experiences. And they've done little inner work. So they're always going to feel unsafe no matter which woman they're with. They could be with women. Men can sabotage great relationships, not because of the woman, but because of their own foibles in life.
Yeah, that goes for both genders, of course. So what would you say is, you know, what's the way forward? How to approach this dating game? How to, you know, be who you are, how to find who you are, and how to attract the, you know, the partner that you want?
So since we're talking about midlife, I'm thinking of, I think it was the movie Sleepless in Seattle, and there was a scene where Tom Hanks is actually talking to his real life wife, Rita Wilson, and she says, it's easier to get hit by lightning at age 40 than meeting the man of your dreams. My point is the journey of life isn't about getting a relationship. The journey in life is learning how to love oneself. And while the reality is that when we're over 40 or 50 or 60, you know, we all, you know, have this belief that everybody deserves a relationship, but not everyone is going to be in a happy, delicious, romantic relationship. This is why I'm a big proponent of working on oneself so you become so happy that you don't need a relationship for happiness. And when you reach that level, you may or may not attract a relationship, but you're going to feel good no matter what. And when you can reach that level, oftentimes that's when a juicy, delicious relationship enters into your life.
Yeah, I love that. It's when you don't need it and you're not really looking for it, you know, it comes to you when you are ready and you are already who you are. I love that.
It's certainly more apt to be true than not. Now, that's not to say you won't attract a dysfunctional relationship. The reality is today, the average man or woman could have dozens of short-lived relationships in their life. In many cases, we see men and women equally have multiple sexual partners. You can be in relationship with a dysfunctional person. That can happen. I'm talking about having that juicy, delicious relationship with a healthy person. And that requires to become healthy within. And that's why I'm a big proponent of daily personal development, self-help, and spiritual work to make you that awesome superstar that you already are, but just now need to uncover.
So I'm sure that in your book, What the Heck is Self-Love Anyway, you're giving a lot of tips and practices to start working on that. And I know for myself, you know, it took me years of literally saying to myself in the mirror, I love you, I love you, I love you, because before I could really feel it and really, you know, make it a part of my beliefs. So what would you say, you know, like short tips or something they can do immediately or they can implement in their life immediately? You know, the little steps.
So chapter one in my book is called Speak Your Truth, Do It With Kindness. And your truth is your feelings. And in relationship and in life with your family and friends, I think it's important to speak up if you have something important to say. The important part is to do it in a non-confrontational way, Oftentimes people express their feelings with a lot of confrontation, meaning you did this to me. Like instead of saying, I feel sad because this happened. You know, do you see the difference? You made me feel unhappy. No, I'm sad because this happened between us. And so when we learn to speak our truth in a kinder way, that is the beginning foundation of self-love, is to recognize that your feelings matter. And a lot of people stuff their feelings and never speak up. And I'm here to say, always speak your truth within reason. You know, I mean, you don't have to vomit everything you're thinking or feeling. But if it matters and if it's important, then speak up and do it with kindness. Now, I'm here to say, another chapter in my book says, if it's sincere and from the heart, you can never say the wrong thing to the right person. If it's sincere and from the heart, you can never say the wrong thing to the right person. Now, why that's so important? Because so many women are afraid to speak up in relationship. They're afraid that the guy is going to run away. But I'm here to say, if you're speaking from your heart, the right guy isn't going to run away. Now, if you're speaking from unhealthy ego and fear, you could scare someone away, but that's because you're not ready for a relationship either.
Yeah, you touched an important point, and that is the communication in the relationship. And like you said, we are shying away from the important topics. We are hiding. We are, you know, not really ready to express ourselves. So it become this kind of game of manipulation with each other. And, you know, instead of taking responsibility for yourself and standing up for yourself and speaking up and really honestly in a loving, kind way, express what's bothering you, how, you know, how this is not working or how it could be better.
Yeah. I think it's just important to be introspective. I'm a huge proponent of looking inward in life. And our feelings are our guide. Our feelings are our guide. When we feel off, when something feels off, that's a signal saying, look inward. And so, you know, many people are naively want life to always be happy, 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 happy. And I'm here to say there's 1440 minutes in any given day, 1440 minutes in any given day. And we can have 1440 different feelings in any given day.
Or more.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give it minutes, not seconds, you know, but you know, you might have 100 different feelings. It's, and each day is going to be a reset button from the day before. So just recognize that what you're feeling today might be happy. You can feel corresponding sadness the next day, and the next day you can feel joy. Don't get hung up on the feelings. Focus more on the journey and being present to life. That's my invitation for everyone. Be present to your life, not seeking the future, not seeking the past, reliving the past. Be present.
Oh, I love that. And this is a perfect end to our interview. Can you just share where people can find you, you know, how they can contact you if they want more?
Sure. Well, I really appreciate an opportunity to speak to your audience. So thank you so much, Elenka.
Thank you.
Well, where you can find me, my name is Jonathan Aslay, last name spelled A-S-L-A-Y. It's kind of a one-of-a-kind name. If you Google me, you can find that I have a YouTube channel called Understand Men Now. I have a podcast called the What Would Love Do podcast. What Would Love Do podcast. Those are two great places to start following my work. Certainly my website at jonathanaslay.com. I have a great membership program, and I have a fantastic coaching program where women are falling in love, getting married, getting engaged, and experiencing wonderful relationships by shifting their perspective more in the area of self-love. And that's the antidote to inner suffering.
Oh, awesome. And your book is probably available on
Amazon. I forgot my book. In my book, What the Heck is Self-Love Anyway, is on Amazon. So just go to Amazon, either type in my last name or type in What the Heck is Self-Love Anyway, and you can get my book too.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your truth. Thank you for all the tips that you gave us. And I'm wishing you lots of love.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And I'm going to give you a big, gigantic Jonathan Bear hug right now.
Okay, awesome. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Thanks for joining us on Rock the Midlife Show. If you find value, you can visit our website, rockthemidlife.com, where you can listen to previous episodes and subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and other platforms so you never miss an episode. I would very much appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply tell a friend about it. You might also want to check out our Facebook community, The Midlife Sorority. I hope we meet again next week for our new episode. Bye!